You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Western and Southern Financial Group. Put our financial strength behind you. It's easy to get started. Visit WesternSouthern.com.
Now batting number one in our hearts, at least he'd like to think so, it's the Jim Day Podcast.
Hello, we're back. This is the Jim Day Podcast, and welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you're listening, wherever you are. Thanks for checking us out. And it's, you know, even though I work with this guy, he's been tough to wrangle up for the old podcast. He has given me an evil look already. He is former Red and now current Reds broadcaster. I almost said the other thing, Bally Sports Ohio. I almost said the other one. He is Sam LaCure. How we doing, Sammy?
Good. So just, ladies and gentlemen, a little bit of a background here. So here when he says I'm tough to wrangle, it's basically been, he was asking people to be on his podcast, and I'd give him a little bit of grief about it. And then he's like, no, you come on anytime you want, you know, just asking me, but not really asking me. And then he's, when he started having people on three and four times, he had Marty on 15 times. I don't know how many episodes he's up to. Then it started to me give it back to him. So it's been a lot of give and take. I'm going to say that Jim walked in the other day and asked me in earnest for the first time, in my opinion, to be on the podcast. And 2 days later, here I am. So thanks for having me, Jim.
That is terrible. Listen, I had to, you know, it was the final year of Marty. I had to milk that cow.
He's milked. He's milked. You milked him so much, he might be a Laura's Lean product by now.
No, man, when I did the original list, when I started this thing, you were on it. It's just, I don't know. Schedules never meshed. Then he kept giving me crap, yeah. And I'm like, well, he doesn't. I thought you were giving me crap because you really didn't want to be on here.
No, I did want to be on here, but that's, you know, I think Jim and I now have working together, have learned that the more crap that we give each other, yeah, the better. So no, it's been a year and a half of crap, so Jim and I must get along pretty well.
There is a lot dished back and forth, but it's all in fun, so it's really good. What I'm very happy about is that we appear to be 6 feet apart, but I'm doing an interview face-to-face. You know how long it's been? I've been doing this Zoom and phone interviews, which is great, which is fine. It's actually added to the guest list. It makes it easier for people, but I prefer to do these face-to-face. So the fact that I'm able to do that here today, I am tickled to death that I'm doing one with actually two microphones sitting across from a person.
You got a real nice setup here, man. You got your nice office corner. Folks, let me paint a picture here for you.
Oh, here we go.
Nope, I won't. I won't start there. He's got a nice corner office, very professional.
No,
as professional as you can be with me involved.
This is not my office. We come in right now. We're in the Bally Sports Ohio studio. I got to make sure I get that right because some nerd, I don't know if you noticed this on opening day, messed it up like 2 minutes into the first show.
Yeah, saved me $100. Appreciate that. And then I don't know if you watched the post game show, but there was another nerd on it who screwed it up twice. And I was like, oh, man, thank you, Lord.
Oh, habits are hard to break, man. Uh-huh. Yeah, my first hit, basically, hey, don't say what we used to be. Did it right off the bat, right out of the gates. First one, Annie up, 100 bones.
You are, so everybody, at least everybody knows you're human, yeah. Jim.
Okay, but we're in the offices right now, so we still have to socially distance. So everyone has, like, little offices, I guess. This is where they told me to go, and it just happens to be
the corner office. Truly, the corner office. Yeah, that's okay. I got a nice little setup over here.
You do. You do. But anyways,
I'll be here more than you. Maybe. I guess
no,
I guess
we're the same. All doing I guess the same. Road. I guess yeah, the same. Unless it changes, we're all
Hopefully I'm here more than you in that case. Hopefully you get to go on a road trip sometime and go to a ballpark and see another stadium.
I'm dying to go on the road.
It feels so good to be back in the ballpark, though, doesn't it?
I mean, yeah, I'm a ballpark rat, man. Yeah, I mean, people are like, do you like the studio? I'm like, I like, you know, I'm covering baseball.
It has its
things. Should never complain, which is hard for me, because I'm covering baseball. I talk for a living, but you know, I'd rather be at the ballpark. I'd rather be on the road. The travel gets to you, you know, it's tough, but you'd just rather be there. So. It's what I'm used to, but it is what it is, man. We'll get through this, and hopefully at some point we'll be on the road again.
Yeah, and in a clubhouse and getting to talk with the guy, you know, and grab the other, you know, the word I probably can't say on your podcast. I got to keep it, you know, I got to keep watch my mouth. It'll be nice, man. But even for me, just not last year, not being able to go one bit, you know, I almost forgot my way around the ballpark.
And yeah.
When I got back there this year, so it feels good to go out and hear batting practice. You know, me and you talked about that the other day, just being able to go out there and sit and watch batting practice like a kid.
Yeah. People look down and are like, what's Dave doing down there? Like, I'm literally just sitting in the stands because I need baseball sounds.
Yep.
I need the ball hitting the bat. I need the snap of the ball hitting the mitt. I just need... I wish they would just turn the music off. I wanted them to turn the music off during BP. I just wanted to hear the sounds. I needed it for my soul. So... Is what it is. We trudge on. But how's this broadcasting thing, man?
I think it's. I enjoy it. I'm having a lot of fun, folks. A little bit more background. So you either have Jim to thank in part or write nasty letters to. Jim is a very huge reason that I'm sitting where I'm sitting today, as far as in the broadcast studio. So. You know, when I was playing, you were always saying, hey, man, when you're done, this should be something that you'd look into. Jim came out, the team, the whole team even came to Colorado, media included, a few years ago when I was living out there. And I think, I don't know if I reached out to you or said I wanted to come down to the ballpark. And Jim said, hey, well, why don't you come up? And should I call you Jim or should I be talking to you?
You should.
Talk you how I want to talk.
You can call me whatever you want.
No, I just meant like, just for listeners' point of view, said, well, you want to come on and do a hit? And I did. So we did a little something up in the booth there in Colorado. And that was kind of the beginning of me thinking, oh, that's fun. Like I get to go to the ballpark and I get to talk about baseball and I'm not real qualified to do much else. I was like, I might be onto something here. So had fun doing that and then started kind of making the email chain. And now here I am in your homes, for quite a few games. So I'm enjoying it, man. I love this new dynamic of the group we have. I obviously am familiar with you and Geese and, you know, the guys that were here when I was playing. This kind of seems like a long time ago now. It's only been 6 years since I've played here. So it's a lot of fun, man, especially now, you know, gaining perspective of what it would be like for you going through some of those dark years, we'll call them, you know, of Reds baseball and, you know, I didn't understand that. You know, I was kind of listening to Jay talk the other day. It's like, oh, I came up and hit that walk-off home run in 2010. I thought that happened all the time. You know, like I was here during a great era, you know, an awesome time to be a Reds fan and a Reds player, obviously. And so I was like, oh, this is just what it is. But now coming on the other side and saying, oh, man, there's not every year's like that. You know, unless you got a $200 million payroll, not every year's like that. Sort of remind myself that – I'm new to this and you've gone through, you know, some down times and a lot of the other guys that are here, you know, have seen that and to kind of reel myself in a little bit, but I love this team, you know, getting to work with you and the guys that, you know, I've known now for 10 plus years,
right.
You know, makes it pretty easy. And John Sadak and Barry having those guys here, you know, the energy feels like it's, you know, even coming off. We're talking right out. Can I date this a little bit?
You could date it. We're recording this on Friday.
Okay, Friday. So we just got done with that Arizona series, and that was a rough. So that's why all this is fresh on my mind because that was like
it was a little rough.
That was a long series. But it was perspective. I mean, seriously, it's just by chance, I guess, that we're talking now. But was like, man, this was happening weekly.
Oh,
you know, like there was a series like this going on all the time. And like to be able to stay upbeat and not be jaded by losing teams like would be tough to do. I mean, it was a hard series for me to get through. I told my mom at some, not the other day, but just at some point, like it's amazing to me. It feels like it's easier for me. It was easier for me to leave the game at the ballpark when I was playing than it is now. It feels like it affects me more. Maybe because I have no control over it, or I don't know what it is, but like I'll take some of these games home with it, and I'm sitting there running back the highlight package or low light package more often than the ones I take home. But you know, with this game's like in your bones, and for you too. So, yeah. But it's, you know, I'm definitely still learning, but I'm enjoying it a lot for sure.
It's easier to do this gig with a winning team and when they win games. It's what you can bring to the table when it's really not going well on the field, which is the toughest. And there's been several losing seasons, and I started here in 2000, and it was, what, 9 straight losing seasons until 2010? So it was... And it was a rough time leading up to last year. You know, it's one of those things you got to... It's what you can bring to the table. A lot of people, when they're searching for broadcasters, they'll say, don't send me a great game.
Yeah.
Send me a game in August that they lost by 10 runs. Because that's when you truly earn your money right there. Yeah. But I remember that Colorado thing because it was... You can sit there and say... You know, I think this guy will be pretty good on the air. But until you do it, and until someone sees you on camera and you get a tape, or, you know, they say get a tape. It's actually not tape now. A digital performance. Yes. Until they see you do it. So I'm like, all right, we need to just have you do a hit on the pregame. I think it was a pregame show. Just have you do a segment so they can see, like, okay, maybe this guy might have it. So I was happy to do it, even though I get a lot of grief from me
about it. But also we got a token of my appreciation as well.
I appreciate that. One of the things I really appreciate is something that hangs on my wall.
We might as well
go right there. I called you Nails when you were a pitcher because I just...
You ought to hear what he calls me now. It's not Nails.
Rhymes with... No.
Oh, boy.
No, we won't even go
Let's
there.
Let's not do that.
Yeah. But I called you Nails because I just loved, you didn't have overwhelming stuff. You didn't have overwhelming velocity. You weren't like the huge high round draft pick. You just went out there and you pounded nails, man. And it was twofold. That, you're always out there pounding nails, and you were in situations where you were nails. I mean, it's just one of those sayings, man, he was nails.
Yep.
'Cause I don't know what it was about you, but it just seemed like every time that there was a bases loaded situation, LeCure, get LeCure up. And
it was crazy. Have you seen those numbers? Have you seen the actual
I
numbers?
I saw those a few years ago, but
you know who's number 2
me.
On that list? Cowboy. In his history.
Yeah.
Like percentage of runners scored with the bases loaded minimum, you know, whatever appearances is. I'm number 1. And Cowboys number 2, like a pretty, I mean, it's crazy. Like you say that, like, I mean, I always, if there's anybody with a better record of in that number of attempts with the bases loaded than me, I'd love to buy you a beer. And I'm not, that's not a brag on me. I mean,
no, like, that's fact.
I guess a little bit.
That's
but,
a fact.
But it is, but just to be in those situations like that many times and I mean, come out of it, like it was nuts, man.
I can't believe the amount of times you got out of those situations.
All of them. I gave up one run.
I know, that's crazy.
Out of 18 situations. One run.
Think about the 18 situations.
3 or 4 of them
loaded.
Were no outs. Dude, it is pretty crazy. And then I think I was, so percentage of runners scored, I think mine was like 3.7.
Yeah.
It might've been, maybe it was 2. It was 2 because I remember them both. So 2 out of those, so 18 times 3, I guess, is 56. So 2 of 56 runners or something like that scored against me. And then Cowboy was number 2. In history. And Mariano,
I think he was a little surprised when we brought that stat up to him, by the way, Cal.
That he did that well?
No, that he was behind you.
Oh, he was surprised he was behind me. Yeah. How about that? I mean, now we're in the same booth together. So
I love Cowboy to death, but I was like, wow, Sam's on top in that one. That's pretty good.
He's got me in most others. He's got me in most others, including draw.
Draw, yeah. Yeah. Oh, there's no doubt he's got you in the draw.
Right down Broadway.
2-2 pitch.
So, to finish your story.
So, there was a Players Weekend, and they, you know, this is when they had the...
must have been 19.
It was all whites. Yep. The all white ones. And they gave you as a former player and broadcaster.
And Chris Welch, all the former Chris Welch, players all the former, baseball. Yep.
Yeah, all the former players that were in broadcasting, yep. I guess, that yep. were broadcasting the game, gave them jerseys. And you chose to put nails on the back of it.
I did.
Which
I did.
I thought was awesome.
I couldn't think of any other anything that they were gonna that they would stitch on there. Yeah. Other than that, I was like, "What are the nicknames? Like, who calls me what? Oh, what? Nope, not nope, nope, nope.
Can't
nope.
do that."
Yep. I mean, I went down. It was a list, man. No, you were that was pretty high up there. I was like, "What do? I don't never really had, you know, a nickname. You know, as Sammy yeah. or whatever or something explicit." So yeah, that felt like what kind of people referred to me because, I mean, I don't know if yeah. you know it or not, Jim, you're kind of a big deal around here. No, so when you say something, I mean, people are a lot of times listening. So I felt like I heard it a lot, seemed to make sense.
Well, to end that story, which really touched my heart and still does, all of a sudden he comes, I guess it was at a game, well, last year, I don't even remember if it was last year or the year before. This COVID thing, I can't even put years together anymore.
No.
I mean, the last 2 years have been, it's been like 10 years. But anyways, Sam framed the jersey and gave it to me. And I just thought that was so awesome. I mean, it seriously, touched my heart. You know, we give each other crap. But that was really a very touching thing. And it hangs on my wall. And I love it.
What'd it say? Something like, for always believing I'd get the job done during the game and believing in me in this or helping me into this next new chapter, something along those lines.
Yeah.
So for all the crap we're about to continue to give each other, we're pretty good buds, and I do appreciate it. I can now say it.
Yeah.
It's out there, Jim. Your subscribers are listening. Jim Day is the person to blame for me being in the broadcast.
Well, listen, they blame me for a lot of things. Trust me.
Yep.
Things I don't even say, I get blamed.
And I've got a Jim Day microphone hanging above my bed.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Where do we go after that? We've been the sentimental route. So
yeah, let's
see. Where do we go from there?
I thought that was, I mean, I feel like that's, you know, I mean, it's just the fact that I got more people out with the bases loaded, and it's a fact that I'm in broadcasting because of you. I mean, I feel like that's, I mean, not that other people didn't mention that, but I mean, I reached, you know, in Colorado, and so thanks or screw
stars
you or
line,
whatever.
Oh, no.
One of the two.
No, so. it's you know, I just, someone will give you an avenue, and it's when preparation meets opportunity.
Yep.
You know, that's luck.
Yep.
Right? That's what they call luck. So it was you studying the game, being a master of studying the game, playing the game at the highest level. And then had the opportunity to talk about it on broadcasting. That's all it was. It was just an opportunity, and you took advantage of it, and you've taken it from there. And it's grown into the world-famous Sam Slate.
Yep.
Okay, so you are the youngest of eight?
I'm number eight, yep.
Now, I am the youngest of five, so we have that in common. Although, eight, I mean, that's significant.
Mom had five, I think, in the first, I think she was pregnant. Like for it had 5 and 7 years or something like that, then took 10 years off and had three more. So I was the second group.
The second wave.
Yeah, I was the second wave.
So what's it like being the baby of the family of
it's terrible.
Eight?
I mean, depending on who you ask. I mean, she's great for, I mean, my mom and I are super close.
Yeah.
And always have been. I think it was just a product of kind of the opportunity and preparation. You know, she was
right.
getting closer to done with working, and, you know, I was there and blah, blah. So her and I are very super close, but all the siblings love to remind me of that, of it and,
oh, yeah.
and whatnot. Oh, well, Sam's here and this and that. So that part of it's, I mean, it gets old, but, you know, I guess it just is what it is. I guess it means they love me because they, just like you, buddy, they give me plenty of crap.
I don't know if this happened to you, but being the youngest, by the time they got to me, they had to deal with so much with my older brothers and sister that they're just over it. Like, do what you want, whatever, just do what you want.
That must, maybe that is it. Yeah. Cause if you know me, and you can imagine seven older me, that's pretty much what it is. A rambunctious crew, we'll call them.
Yeah.
We have a lot of fun. For sure. They're good folks. But no, it was cool. I mean, I learned a ton from them. You know, I'm kind of watching mistakes, you know, that they made. I mean, my oldest brother's 50. I'll be 37 here sometime soon. So he's 57 now, you know, like
big age,
big. Oh yeah. So 20, I mean, 20, you know, I was out of the womb, like, hey bro, can you buy me a beer? And pretty close. He could have. So I learned a lot from them and watching them kind of go through life and, you know, and all those things. I've got 20, I think just recently number 20 was born, my 20th nephew. So between nieces and nephews.
I'm an uncle so many times I've lost count.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I couldn't give you a number right now. When we gather for Christmas, when we do all get together, it's like 50 some people.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts, man. But it's fun. No, if you got room for it.
Oh, yeah. No, what I found is I learned how to get away with things.
Oh, yeah.
Because
that's the other
all the older siblings got caught. So it's like, all right, I know how to get around that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we had the benefit of that for sure.
So this was in Missouri, right?
Yep. Missouri. Grew up and went to Catholic school all my life.
Do you have the uniform?
I mean, dress code. Dress not code. Not uniform. Not uniform, but it was good. You know, we had the nuns and the Padres at the... Padres, not San Diego. That's Spanish for father in the church. So had those for... I mean, you're really going to get a kick out of this, man. I thought I was going to be a priest. I mean, I went to church, dude. Yeah, you should see. You should see the look I'm getting. Yeah.
Hello, is it? Is this mic on?
You should see the look I just got, man.
What?
Yeah, I kind of went the other way, Jim. But man, I would go to church We went to church 3 times a week. I mean, I could probably still. They've changed it a lot, but I could probably still say the mass by memory. We went so many times.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. So. Kind of went the other way there. I didn't know a whole lot about college, man. We had 3 channels, and I certainly wasn't real worldly. It was playing basketball in the winter and baseball in the summer, and
right.
You know, that was kind of it. You know, living out in the country, it was go outside, ring a dinner bell, garden. We had, you know, 15 or 20 acres, so it was always, you know, we were cutting grass. Mom had her own grounds crew out there, cut, you know, 8 kids. like, get her done, man. We used to have that thing spotless. It was a lot of that. And then, I mean, when I'd never even seen ESPN or MTV until I went to the University of Texas to go to college. I mean, No.
Wow.
I mean,
when were you born? 84?
84.
Gosh, that makes me feel old.
Yeah. So that's kind of wild. So, you know, I wasn't real worldly. So when I got out into college, it was kind of like, oh my God, this whole new, like, whoa, let's light that on fire. So kind of went the other way from the priest.
Wow, yeah. I've heard a lot of stories about that where I don't want to say you're sheltered as a child, but you didn't have the worldly experiences, and then you get to be an adult and you're away from home and you're like,
yeah.
Sometimes that leads to trouble. Some can handle it and some can't.
I don't know how well I handled it. You know, I made my fair share of mistakes, that's for sure. But you know, thankfully I've kind of was able to iron a lot of that stuff out and look back more on the things that I screwed up the most as the biggest teachers in my life of where I am now.
Yeah.
I think.
You had mentioned that you came along in a great period of Reds baseball, and you did. I had mentioned the 9 straight losing seasons, and then all of a sudden in 2010, win a division title, team what went to the playoffs 3 out of 4 years. So you came up in 2010. What a great time to come
up.
I mean, goodness gracious.
Hey, amen. I was blessed for that one for sure. It must have been that 3 times a week going to church.
Paid off.
Yeah, it paid
Someone
off.
Someone was taking
well,
care
mom,
of you.
I can tell you my mom was praying probably right now that I don't say something stupid on this one. Pray a little harder, honey. Yeah, it was amazing, man.
We can edit this. Goodness, it's not live.
We're getting close to debut time, which is May 28th. So we're about a month away from that. I came up as a starter, Jim. You remember that?
I do remember that.
That's wild. I faced 4 Cy Young winners in my first 6 starts.
Mm-hmm.
We lost. that team would have been a lot better that year if they would have brought me up. No. And it was Matt Cain, Felix Hernandez, Zach Greinke, Chris Carpenter, and the two that weren't were Wandy Rodriguez and Justin Masters. I mean, you mean the side armor from Cleveland?
Yeah.
Oh, he was nasty.
Yeah.
He was probably the nastiest of all of them. Yeah, so we lost. But that, man, what a, you know, I've definitely been walking down memory lane a little bit more than I usually do. I'm very at peace with not playing. I'm going to probably tell three different stories in the next 10 seconds. Nobody's
going to
understand.
That's what this is for, man.
So coming up, walking down memory lane, just because Jay Bruce has recently retired and he and I were drafted the same year together, played all those levels together, like good buddies. He's, you know, I've had a lot of great, great teammates, but he's won just because of our trajectory. Well, obviously his trajectory is a little faster than mine and lasted a little longer, but we're always kind of together. So he was a special teammate of mine. And to have those experiences with that was a big time homegrown team, man. Like that was a lot of homegrown players, you know, that I still keep in real good touch with. And then those added pieces, you know, the Rollins and Ludwigs and, you know, Bronson obviously would come in and do his thing. Yeah, we were fortunate, man. That was just some of the most fun baseball that you can ever imagine. You know, for whatever reason it was, obviously going out there and whipping on people, but just the other stuff that, I mean, fans like are just never, they're allowing so much more access now. And I think that that's great to show the players' personalities and things like that. But even still, unless you're just able to stand there in the clubhouse, you know, with the guys, like when they're, you know, broing out and whatnot, like it's just hard to fully drink that in, like how fun that is.
Yeah. Did you have your stash right away? You became a little famous for the stash.
I did. No, I didn't have it right away because in the minor leagues up until 2010, there was a facial hair policy.
Right.
I think the next year they were lifting that and you could have a mustache or a goatee, something, you know, something along those lines, not full beard. So Matt Maloney and I were kind of, if you folks remember that name, the Reds traded Kyle Loesch for him to the Philadelphia Phillies in, I guess, 2007 or maybe 2008, left-handed starting pitcher. So anyhow, he and I were kind of on the, had an opportunity to maybe make that 2011 team out of spring training, as probably long relief type thing. So we're like, well, let's just grow mustaches during spring training. And if that way, if we get sent down, we can still wear them in the minor leagues. You know, we'll just be these idiots with mustaches on. So then I got here and I had no idea. I'm literally, folks in this office, I'm literally sitting at looking at a picture of a mustache with four guys with mustaches on it. Where'd you come up with that question, Jim? Did a lot of research on that one.
No, I didn't even know that picture was behind me, to be honest with you.
It's a real cool picture.
That's the Red Stockings there, the 1869 Red Stockings.
I thought you said you were born in eight, or no. Anyhow, so it was just kind of started as a stupid thing, and then that's why we grew them. And then I liked mine. Like I was like, oh, I got a pretty nice, like, because I never really grew a ton of facial hair. Well, number one, because I always had to shave it, and you know, after I got out of college, I couldn't grow any facial hair there anyway. And then I got to the minor leagues and couldn't wear it, so I didn't know if I could grow facial hair or not, I guess.
Right.
And then I liked it because I thought it was kind of thick, and then the people around here were like giving it name. My niece gave it a name, and I was like kind of getting pretty active.
What was that name? I remember doing that story on the air.
Cornelius.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cornelius. We were sitting at the Cheesecake Factory in St. Louis. We were playing there, I guess it must have been in 2011. And she's like, I think I'll name it Cornelius. And I was like, that's just bizarre. So it stuck, you know, it stuck. So people around here liked it. Dude, I got like big magnet mustache, like to put on the bed of my truck. Like, so I was driving around, you know, like didn't think anything, like just an idiot, you know, at this big magnet mustache on the back of my truck. People were sending me t-shirts and stuff. And yeah, it kind of took on, you know, it's funny how those things happen, take on a life of its own.
Cornelius.
I still wear it every once in a while. Like, it wasn't just something I did here to get attention. I liked it, and I still do. So Cornelius rocks on.
Cornelius does rock on. It shows you my brain that I couldn't remember Cornelius. I remember saying it on the air so many times, and doing the story originally. That's great.
Then it went into, then it started turning into like a tombstone thing with I'm Your Huckleberry, and which is funny because if I could count how many times I watched that movie on minor league buses with Corky with Corky Miller, I'd almost have more money than you do.
Stashes,
yeah,
another famous stash in
that one's got Reds history. I mean, my stash looks up to his. I mean, that's that's a definite crush there.
Yeah, I would even say behind the plate now, the mustache and Corky Miller.
Yeah, right.
In the game.
Oh, I miss that guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We still keep in touch. I think he was last I knew. I think he was around Chicago. I don't even know what's happening with the minor leagues.
He was managing in the independent league because they didn't have any minor league baseball. So it was a team outside of Chicago,
I think
he was managing. I don't know how that went. I need to follow up on that. I'm not sure. But yeah,
he's been in the Red system.
Yeah. As the roving catching instructor. He had a lot to do with Tyler Stevenson's development. In fact, he took him under his wings, and Tyler was Tyler even talked about this, that he was just, you think you know you're a good player, but a catcher's a different animal, especially coming out of high school. He's like, I didn't know anything, Tyler. He's like, I knew nothing. And
Corky's mustache has forgotten more about catching than I've ever known. Yeah.
That's what Corky said when I asked him about him, like, how's Tyler doing? He's like, we had to start from ground zero with him. So, and you know Corky's no BS,
man.
Oh, no. He's...
He's
gonna let you know about it.
Yeah.
So that was a tremendous match there.
Corky about was as almost as instrumental in getting me to the big leagues as you were in getting me.
Really?
I mean, yeah. Like, you know, so it's like sometimes guys can say things 10 different ways, and it just takes that one. Like, well, his way of saying things like matched up with how I would need to hear it.
Right.
And so when the first couple times I caught him, or he caught. He caught me in AAA in 2010. Like, it was just different. I mean, I could, and I had great catchers, man, coming through the minor leagues. But I remember, like, he just probably like a rookie pitcher trying to shake off Yadier Molina, you know, since they're playing the card. Like, it's like, I was almost scared to. And he didn't care. He'd put down a sign. If I shook it off, he'd just go sit there. If he called a fastball in and I shook it off, he just sat up inside and wouldn't move.
Really?
So I was like, well.
And then you just threw whatever you wanted to throw.
I would just throw it. And things started to change.
Would throw the fastball or throw what you wanted?
Oh, I'd throw what he wanted to throw.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to cross him up. And things just. And then it became like, you know, I mean, I hate to compare him to this, but, you know, it's like kind of the Crash Davis. I certainly wasn't Nuke LaLoosh with all that. You know, right. I knew where it was going. But. Then I'm on the bench, you know, in between starts, I'm in there, like, you know, asking him, it's this. I mean, asking him questions, and it just seemed like 2 weeks later, I was in the big, I mean, like that. It was wild.
I didn't know he's that much of an influence. That is great.
Yeah. We're great buddies, but like, I mean, he was big time.
Well, he's no nonsense, and he spent so much time in the minor leagues and not as much time in the major leagues. But when he was up at the big club, I'll never forget. You know, when someone would be complaining about something, another player would be complaining about whatever at the big league level. And he's like,
You don't like it?
Play worse.
Yep.
You know exactly where I'm going.
Yeah.
You don't like it? Play worse. They'll send you back down.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's amazing how you get, like, you just get used to things, man. And I hate it, you know, coming from where I grew up, we talked about, I wasn't watch MTV till I'm 18 years old. And now I'm complaining because I got to fly commercial. You know, you just get used to flying on the charter flights in the big leagues. Like, it's amazing what, no doubt, right?
I am completely spoiled.
Yeah.
I fly commercial and I'm like, wait, I got to wait in this line?
Yeah.
What?
And where's my first class? I don't have a whole row to myself?
Hold on, there's not a menu?
Yeah. I want my shrimp and my cheese and crackers when I get there.
Never forget, the first time I got on that Reds plane and they're handing me a menu, I'm like, we can eat this? Oh, yeah, I'll take the... whatever.
Burger and a scampi.
Yeah.
Like, what is this? You got all the serving turf.
Army of flight attendants.
Yeah.
Need a drink?
That are the sweet. Yeah. That are the sweetest ladies, and you know them by name. Yeah. They're there every time. Yeah. When Corky says play worse, it's like, man, guy that's put that many miles into minor leagues, and, you know, it's good. Always good to have somebody to keep you in line.
All right. This conversation with Sam LeCure is about to really pick up. And we'll get to it right after this message from Western and Southern Financial Group.
You've experienced one of life's miracles, adding a baby to your family. Now you may need life insurance to help make sure everyone's protected, especially that bundle of joy. And if you already have kids, now's a great time to make sure you have enough coverage. At Western and Southern Life, we translate what's complicated and help make life insurance simple. Talk to one of our financial translators. It's easy. Visit us at westernsouthern.com/life.
Compensated endorser, Western and Southern Life Insurance Company, Cincinnati, Ohio.
When Jay Bruce hit the home run.
Yeah.
I mean, that night was my favorite night. That and the night that Marty cut his hair. Oh. Probably one and two, which we'll get into. Just because you guys made it happen. But when Jay Bruce hit that home run, I mean, that night, where does that night rank?
Oh, I mean, it was so many little things stick out about that night. And I didn't feel like it, that season, while the excitement was so huge, because I hadn't been there to pull that team. I know I was on the team. And I had known a lot of those guys because it was so many homegrown, but I don't know. I didn't feel as big of a part of that as I did, you know, in 2012 when we were so good. But even still, I was not like those guys didn't welcome me in or anything like that, but watching Jay raise his arm, you know.
Knew it right away.
Oh, man. Couldn't get his bat down soon enough to lift that hand up. And knowing now, certainly being around here a lot longer, the history of what's happened here with, you know, some letdowns by the local sports teams and, you know, the period of kind of down years here for the organization, to be a part of that. And just, like I said, the memory lane of him retiring recently and watching a lot of that stuff and watching from a different lens, the fans go nuts when that ball went over. I mean, that was early September, wasn't it?
No, it was late.
September 28th.
It got a little hairy late.
Where it was September 28th.
It was like, okay, are these guys going to finish this
off?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was September 28th. Yeah. I get May 28th as my debut, and then September 28th I know is something else special. So it was that day. And just watching the stadium kind of erupt, you know, and then, I think I got pretty close to beating Jay to home plate from the bullpen. You know, I mean, I was hightailing it out there, man. I mean, I think when Homer threw his no-hitters, I think I might have beat Ryan Hannigan to the mound from the bullpen, just dragging my hamstring across.
That's great.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. And then so everybody's jumping on in the pile, and Scott Rowland, the whole, you know him, fans out there if you don't, very dry sense of humor. And all year when I was up, so I got called up early in the year, was up for about a month, got sent back down, came up at the end of August with Chappie. And he'd all,
that'd be a role as Chapman for those who don't know.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Once a week or every couple of days or something, Scott Rowland, hey man, you just get called up. I mean, all the time, you know, that guy who he said something, you didn't know whether he was joking or not, so you didn't know if he liked you. I mean, for a while, I was like, this guy just can't stand me.
It took me forever to,
I'm still not sure.
Probably in that category, too.
So this is going to parlay into the next one. So we're out on the field. Jay hits a home run. We're jumping up and down. Everybody's hugging everybody. Here comes Scott Rowland. Hey, did you just get called up? No, on the field, dude. I'm like, what? Oh man, that was
on the field after the clinch. He said, "Did you just get called up?"
Just get called up, dude. I mean, how good is that? How good is that?
He's so good.
And then the champagne. I've never gotten drunk so fast because that champagne is just like you can't help it. Yeah. You know, they've got 1,000 bottles in there, and everybody just wants to spray one on every single one of their teammates. Right. And it got in your eyes, and you're drunk. And the next day, the worst headache you've ever had.
Oh, champagne hangovers. There's nothing worse.
And you know, as a dumb rookie, you're going to be pitching that game. Like, hey, all the regulars, take a day off. Important players to this team, take a day off. Hey, Rook, you got it. Drag that hangover out there with you and give me 6 outs. So it's come to find out my sister lives in, we'll call it the Gulf side of Florida, down south Sarasota. And I'm down there visiting her a couple years after I'm done playing. I think, I don't remember exactly when it was. Might have been in the off season or something like that. I'm down there riding the bike around her neighborhood. And lo and behold, Scott Rowland and his family are riding their bikes to this neighborhood.
Really?
And he comes over, says, Sam, of all the people I thought I was going to see today, you were among the last. Did you just get called up? I mean, unbelievable. This guy.
Even that law. Oh, that is true.
If it wasn't 4 or 5 years later.
Yeah.
That called up, sitting in the middle of the street in suburbia, USA.
Oh. Every time I would approach him, I think I've talked about this on this podcast. Who knows?
Probably. Yeah, about 1,200 episodes.
I don't know. But, you know, you go up to a player to ask him to interview. You go, hey, you got time for, you know, a couple questions? Something like, just to let them know that I'm not going to write a book. I just need to ask you a couple mundane TV questions. So,
yeah.
Hey, you got time for a couple questions? Well, you just used one. Better make the other one good. And he would hold you to it.
Oh, yeah.
He would hold me to it. I'd only get one, so I'd have to go up. Scott, do you have time for 4 questions when I actually have 3?
Yeah, he was going to make you work for it.
Oh, no doubt. That night, I was on the post-game set. I was alone. So I'm on the set, and we keep going to the clubhouse, and all the champagne's flowing, and everyone's, you know, soaking wet. And I made the mistake of going to break saying, I'm the only dry one in the house. Uh-huh. Come on back with us. Not thinking, because the set, you know, is far away. It's down the left field line. You are far away from the Reds clubhouse. No chance, these guys. No one's listening to the post-game show. Somehow Arthur Rhodes and Johnny Gomes got word of this. And all of a sudden I hear this rumbling. Still got a big crowd there. Hear this rumbling behind me. Like, someone's coming up the steps. It's important. You guys had already done, your champagne was already gone. You'd already done away with the champagne. So they're coming up. They got beers.
Monster beers.
Live on the air.
Nuh-uh.
Just crushed me.
Yes.
I still have the jacket hanging in my, one of these days if someone, I don't know.
That thing needs to be in the Reds Hall of Fame, Jim.
No, not that. But the jacket has never been worn again, and it's still just beer stained.
Is it?
Yeah, it's just hanging. I've never wanted to touch it again. So it was just hanging there. But
that was your. So this is also your first playoff appearance as a member of Reds.
Yes.
Employee,
yes.
Or whatever.
Yes. And a lifelong Reds fan.
I'm a total
Reds nerd.
Yeah,
so,
well, you're a nerd.
I'm a nerd. Yeah. Believe me, I wear that with a badge.
Yeah,
if they
do.
Say if you're going to do anything, go all in. I'm a nerd.
All in,
I'm all in.
You ought to see this podcast equipment. He's a nerd, ladies and gentlemen.
I got my podcast
but he's a good,
cases.
But he's a good egg.
So anyways, but the one part, the unfortunate part of that is that I don't think Arthur Rhodes knew it was live. And he said he had one beer that was in a styrofoam cup, and he poured it on me and then smashed it on my head and said, take that S-bomb.
Oh, nuh-uh.
Oh, yeah. Take that 4-letter word that begins with S. Went out over there, you know.
Yes. I would love to see that. I bet that was Arthur Rhodes, man.
So I was scared.
I'm scared
I was
Rhodes
scared to death of Arthur Rhodes. I didn't even know he knew who I was.
He's scary, dude.
And he would have been the last person, if you were say to me, all right, the dummy said he's the only dry one in the house. Literally the last
time out of his day.
Literally the last person I would think that would come up there.
Yeah,
and he led the charge. Him and Johnny Gomes came up and crushed me.
That's amazing. Yeah. There's a picture over here in this office. I don't know if that hallway over here that goes out that kind of that other side door of Johnny Gomes pouring one of those huge beers on Bob Gasly's
on Mr. Gasly,
and I sent a picture of him to him. So I think one of the first times I was up here, sent a picture, and Johnny's like, yep, just bathing a billionaire in Bud Light or something like that. I mean, total Johnny. So I could definitely say, that because I could definitely see him coming up there to do that to you.
He would have
been
Arthur
one of Rhodes, the, if I had to turn around and seen Arthur Rhodes coming with that look in his eye, if I was you, I probably would just start running. He wore me out that year.
Yeah, no, literally, when I saw them, I was scared to death. I thought, Arthur Rhodes is here to beat me up.
Imagine, I had to go into the clubhouse every day and carry his beer around. I'm surprised I didn't have to do his dirty laundry. Hey, rookie, shut up. A-Train.
Yeah. So that, yeah, that night was crazy. That was great, that was a great night. All right, let's talk about 2012.
No, do we?
Okay. Because okay. 2012 sure. is one of those things.
Oh my God, isn't it? I mean, it's just.
It's like one of your favorite things, one of your worst things.
That's how I'd sum it up. That was my favorite, maybe my favorite year ever playing baseball, and also going to be the hardest memory that I have to live with the rest of my life.
Because that team
was the best team in baseball.
I mean, you guys go the whole year and you use five starters outside of one doubleheader.
A doubleheader.
Game, which doesn't count. You used five starters the whole year.
Never. I mean, has that ever
didn't
happened?
Miss a star- I don't know. Did no one miss a start? It certainly wouldn't happen now.
Can't get to a month.
the whole year. And then eight pitches in.
Your Cy Young, I mean, he went 20-8 or something like that.
Who you came out of the bullpen, didn't you? Weren't you the guy?
I was the guy.
What was that like getting that? Did you figure you were going to get that call?
No, I did not right at the time. I thought they would have gotten like it would Alfredo Simon. Yeah. I thought that's who they would have gone to.
Yeah.
Which either way, I mean, I hadn't even my pregame kind of routine was the same. Every game, you know, it was.
You didn't know when you're going in.
I didn't know I was going in, so I was always had all my crap done by pitch one. And obviously, I know what I'm watching the game, know what's going on, and you know they're pointing there at me, so I got to finish off my Red Bull, and then I'm going out there. I'm like, well, I mean, I think it was perfect, you know, because I never pitched in the postseason, and
You didn't have time to think about it.
But then getting warmed up on the game mound. Eight pitches in. I have at San Francisco.
So many pitchers that like, it's the worst thing ever.
I hate that.
Is to warm up on the mound.
Because it's like, you want to like be cool.
Yeah.
So you want to like take your time, but like.
Yeah, everyone's let's
ready
go.
I could have got ready twice as fast if I was in the bullpen, but out here. So I don't, that part, I remember the first couple throws that I took. And I was like, all right, let's get going. You know, like, so I got cranked up like I normally would, you know, just like tried to do it just like I normally would. He had two strikes on the guy. I want to say it was Marco Scudero. He was their second baseman. I think that's who it was. Maybe Freddie Sanchez. I don't know if he was still there. And I was like, ooh, I can throw the old liqueur back. He hadn't seen that before.
Yeah.
That old backdoor fastball, you know, that I used to run off of lefties, throw it to him. I was like, that's an easy strikeout. Boom. You know, he hit a ground ball to second baseman, but. I remember that. I remember Matt Cain. I think in the second inning, I loaded the bases somehow, walked a guy, I'm sure. And Matt Cain comes up and hits a bullet to right field that Jay's, I mean, I don't know if maybe the lights were there or Jay had to go back or was playing in because it's a pitcher, but had to make a pretty decent play on a ball on the pitcher that would have been probably a 3-run double.
Yeah,
and so everybody's like, "Oh man, you were nails." That was not intended. Like, "Oh man, you were nails that night. You came in for Johnny, and,
see,
and
you you were nails."
I had to have a web gym to save me from a 3-run double from the pitcher.
That's all right,
Matt Cain, who also got my first career hit off of, won the Cy Young that year. That was 2010. Yeah, he won the Cy Young 2010. It was my first hit, and then full circle back to San Francisco. He hits a bullet to right. Jay makes the play, and that was 1 2/3. Man, I remember.
Crucial 1 2/3 because you guys win the game.
We crushed them. First two games in San Francisco, we killed them.
Win the first two games. It's best of five. So you're coming back to Cincinnati. Here's the tough part.
Where we hadn't lost three at home.
No.
Three in a row at home.
You got to win one out of three games at home. And it's. I know he's sulking. He's got his head down. I know it's painful. It's painful as fans, but it has to be. Extra painful, obviously, for those that play the game, that it just didn't happen. And every time I see Hunter Pence, I just want to.
Oh, my God.
Just like.
Oh.
Did you have to fire him up like you
dude.
Did?
Dude. So I was talking to Ryan Lowick the other day. I mean, Ryan Lowick is a huge piece of that 2012 team.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of where the whole, you know, that cup we were
carrying. Oh, I wanted to get into the cup.
But I texted him the other day. I think I saw him on TV and I said, bleep Hunter Pence, just like out of nowhere. Like just we weren't even texting, just randomly. I think I saw him on TV and I just texted Luddy, boop Hunter Pence, you know, bleeped it out. And he's like, dude, unbelievable. So then we started hashing out 2012 again.
Gosh, yeah. you know, they go on. They weren't a super team, but they went on to
they
win.
Got, that was the first year they had the two wild cards.
Yeah.
Which is, we were the number one seed. That's why we had to travel on the road.
Yeah.
Because of scheduling gaffu or
which
whatever. Yeah, so.
Crazy, but.
Yeah. Yep.
It's
that was terrible. And then Homer punches out 10 in 7 innings.
Yeah.
Scott Rolen makes an error.
There's so many things that happen. The Rolen error, which never, I mean, he's one of the best defensive third basemen that the game's ever seen. There's a base running blunders in there.
Brandon Phillips had a base running blunder. Yeah. So I remember more of that game. Then game four, it felt like they beat us.
Yeah.
Like game four, it was just like a game they beat us and, you know, whatever. And then the game five, obviously, like, man, I'm ready. Like, it's like, hey, Sam, get ready for Posey.
Yeah.
And I'm ready. And Posey comes up, and the bases are loaded. And like,
thought for sure you were going to come into the game.
And I'm done. Like, my warm ups are done. I'm standing on the mound.
History could have been changed if Nails would have been caught out of the bullpen.
I come in, nailed it down
in that bases loaded situation.
It's like, I mean, it was like, it's. I work out every offseason. I worked out thinking about. I'm thinking about the bases loaded because by that point, like I had started to do that, you know, like I knew that me with the bases loaded was like turning into a thing. I always thought when I was working out in the off season that, man, we're a good enough team to win the World Series. I'm going to be the guy, like if we're winning and it's time to clinch that game and win the World Series and Chappie's out there and something happens, like it's going to be me.
Right.
Like, so you better work to like be ready. That's how I worked out in the off season. Like that was my thought process every day that I was going in there that I didn't want to work out was like, this team's going to need you to get them out of a bases loaded jam to win the World Series. So it felt like everything was like fate. Like it was lining up to be like, this is why I worked my butt off. Like it's the bases loaded and we're going to win this game. And, like, I'm going to go out there, and this is why I did this. This is why I, you know, blood, sweat, and tears, all that, you know. That's why I worked my tail off. So when this moment came around, like, I wasn't going to be the weak link.
Right.
Like, I was not going to let the other dudes down. Like, everything, all the work they put in to get us here, like, I wasn't going to. And then it just, you know, that was the call. It was, hey, you're in it. This is the guy you got. Be ready for him. And then I don't get to go in and do it. And it's like, then it happens. And he hits it in the upper deck.
Oh,
and that's it.
Painful.
And I'm crying, and I remember crying, ready to cry on the bench, trying to get everybody in that stadium going nuts, standing on the top of the rails, waving towels. We had time. Yeah, and we got close. We got within a swing, I think.
Yeah, but it was so deflating.
God.
It would just took the air out of the stadium, you guys, the fan base. It was just like.
That was a real kick in the.
Buster Posey.
Good. Yeah, and I hate him. Yeah.
Got it.
I hate him too.
He's such a good player.
He is such a good player. I hate him.
But that team, now that we've got past the heartache.
Okay. Now that
it was so fun. That was one of, you know, people always, what are the funnest teams you have to cover? Obviously, the playoff teams are, you know, ones that would be high on the list because winning breeds a lot of things.
And having a lot
chemistry
of fun.
And
stupid,
and
like stupid little stuff.
Stupid
yeah.
things because you're playing well so you can be stupid and fun.
Yeah.
So that team was
when
you're
fun. Getting your butt beat, you walk a line.
Right.
You walk the line.
When they're losing 90 games and I'm trying to, you know, I'm sideline guy trying to, hey, would you like to do a segment about funny names? I know you've lost 7 in a row, but would you like to have some fun?
Okay, go ahead. Sorry. The team was fun.
The team was so fun. And one of the funnest things was this cup you guys had.
Mm-hmm.
And if my memory serves correct, speaking of rookies, you sent, was it Mesoraco to get a cup?
Yeah, we sent him to get. So it started in Cleveland because of the
Ludwig,
cup.
Right?
It goes. Just
we
all
win
the
half cup.
Just all of a sudden, out of nowhere, just like jumps out of his locker. Karate kicks a chair over in the clubhouse. Like, I want this cup, you know, just for no, you know, he was probably just on a Red Bull early in the morning or something. Like, I want this cup. And everywhere we went that season, it was whether it was St. Louis, we want that arch, St. Louis arch or Philadelphia
cream cheese cup. I remember
everywhere
that one.
We wanted some kind of cup.
Yeah.
And so Mesoraco went to this like antique store and got this big cup and it was every plane flight. He had it full of beer, carrying it on the plane and all this stuff. Like it was.
But see, that thing makes you rally around things. And 162 games, you've got to have some things to play for other than pride. And obviously, you're professionals and you want to win. But to know that you guys had those celebrations, you wanted to drink out of the cup after a series, and winning series is everything.
Yeah,
I thought that was so fun. Let's think of some other cities. I remember the Philadelphia
We won the Mile High Cup. I remember that because that's where we got 10th in a row, which will segue you. But, I wouldn't even remember. The San Diego Cup would have been that gas lamp cup.
The gas lamp cup.
I don't even remember what all their names were.
But it was whatever city you were playing.
To the city that you were going to, yeah. Just those stupid things, like my stupid mustache, it like takes on a life of its own for no reason.
Right.
It's just
that one
something
definitely
fun to play with. Then you got a cup that's the team, and then
a lot of pictures with that cup.
Yeah.
A lot of that's
that I didn't keep. I mean, I kept clippings and stuff, obviously, but that was one of the coolest things is that on the, I think it was the front page of the Inquirer. Me kind of like I had like splashed it up in the team photo on the mound and like that beer's kind of suspended in air and everybody's looking up at it and you know quenched or clenched or whatever the headline was, but that was one of the coolest things, one of my favorite memories. That was such a fun team, man.
It really was. I mean, it was a good clubhouse too. Not every team has a good clubhouse. We always say on the air, this is a good team that has they get along well and chemistry. And sometimes we're BSing. Let's be honest. That team, you guys had really good clubhouse.
Oh, my God. We was every
– You had good cops. You had bad cops.
Yeah.
You had
– Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody had – I mean, every road trip it was – you know, we weren't going – I mean, we go out to dinner, and then it was just the guy with the biggest hotel room. I mean, there's – every night. I mean, there's 10 or 12 guys in there after the game, and we just – you know, we're doing anything, had a couple beers, place it, but we're always much time as we have to spend together, still wanted to spend time together. I mean, I talked to those guys, you know, Sean Marshall is kind of sitting in my chair now up in Chicago for the Cubs doing the pre and post for them.
Right.
And, you know, Luddy, I talked to a ton, Jonathan Broxton, Cueto, Chappie. Oh yeah, dude. You know, I mean,
were you there when he shoved Billy Hamilton
everybody
into the trash can?
Everybody? Yeah, I was. I was that guy. I mean, that's the strongest. That's the biggest bone dude you've ever seen.
That is a big man. And Billy would get under his skin and just say stuff and say stuff thinking that he's not going to be able to catch him. And he just had.
He's quick.
He
said, I'm heavy on the scale, light on my feet.
Exactly.
That's what he'd always say.
He was. And he caught Billy and shoved
everybody in the trash can.
Did he really more than Billy? I always saw Billy.
You know, Skins.
Yeah.
He stuffed Skins in a laundry cart. How you pick on that guy?
He shoved Skins in the trash. Oh, man.
So bad, but so good because it's love, you know?
It is love. And I'm sure Skins wears with the badge of honor. I mean, we're not talking down at all.
No.
This was not a situation of making
fun
of someone.
I talked Skins this morning.
Yeah. It's never a fun of making fun of a situation.
I learned this, man. Like when I got out of the clubhouse that I'd been in all my life and I got into normal everyday life, the way that we talk to each other in a clubhouse, like you can't do that. You know, like it took me, and I still have trouble with it. The way that I talk to people, the harshness of the tone that we all talk to each other, because you had to do that because you're in a room with 25 alpha dogs, man. Like, and if they smell blood, like they're going to kill you.
Yeah.
You know, but you have to stay on each other to keep everybody humble and in line to be like, hey, you ain't the only dog in here, man. Like, so it was that way, but in love, you know, but still the harshness of a tone, if you were having a day, it would really get to you.
Like you said, it's love. You're around these people so much time for 7-8 months a year. You're around them more than you're around your family.
10 hours a day, probably.
Yeah.
Eight, ten hours a day. If you sleep 8 hours, you're spending a third of the day with your family and
no
a third of the day sleeping and a third of the day with them.
No doubt. Where are we at in this podcast? Goodness gracious, we're over an hour.
Are we really?
I knew that this was going to happen.
I did too.
You're used to it because, you know, Sam does not give short answers,
no,
which is the best, by the way, which is great. But Unfortunately, we're staring at a broadcast here.
Yeah, no kidding.
Which means I didn't even listen. I got.
Are we going to two part this thing?
We're
going
to have to two part this thing.
Okay, that's fine.
Because I've got so much.
We work together.
Yeah, exactly. We'll have time together. I've got so much more I want to ask you about.
Which means you may have to back up on it dropping on Monday. You may have a little extra editing to do.
No, okay. We're going to let this roll. But I need to have you back so that. You know, we're going to record
another
day.
You
might be the new Marty.
You'll do that. Oh, my goodness. Oh, please, no. Do I have to grow out a stupid helmet hair like he did? Marty?
We didn't even get into that story in 2012, but we can save it. We can save a little piece of 2012, a little piece of 2010, and I want to talk to you about post-career, baseball career, and before you got into Brian. There's a lot of things I want to talk to you about.
Okay, well.
So. Need to have you back.
Being as I'm not really going to be able to hide from you.
This is true.
We work together.
This is true. So
you'll never find me again.
This was enjoyable, though, man. I got to do an interview face-to-face with someone. I'm tickled to death. I would love to just go on, just keep going on. But we'll save it for another day. Another day in the life of Sam LeCure. Nails.
Well, we nailed the first part of it. I had fun, man. I, you know, you don't know how it is because you're like, you know, we're buddies now.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, I mean, I don't get interviewed now. It's like, now we're just in here rapping and.
Yeah. Well, that's the best thing. I just like to have conversations. People like, oh, what do you do? What's your plan? I'm like, I try not to interview them. I try to just have a conversation. Have a conversation.
Which is why there's absolutely no, this thing was like a. Graph and it looked like an EKG or something like that. We're over here. Where the hell did Jim leave?
If you listen to the podcast, it's obvious that I don't have much of a plan.
halfway through this thing, I started trying to interview you.
Well, it's by design because you know I could lay out an interview. Okay, we'll start here. We'll start with the youthful days and then college and go to the minor leagues and go in order sequential. No, I just want to see where the conversation goes, and it bounces all over the place sometimes. And I'm like, okay, I got to come back here. But, you know, that's...
This one bounced into part two.
It bounced right into part two. So look forward to that, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, where can people harass you on social media?
On Twitter. I still have Twitter. Mr. LeCure.
Mr. LeCure.
I'm not on it too much. I try to stay somewhat involved, but I'm not good at that.
And I don't do as much social media stuff anymore. They probably... tired of following me because all they hear about is this podcast.
Yeah. It drops on blah blah. So you can follow me on Twitter, Mr. LeCure. Yeah, that's where you can find me. And you can also find me on Bally Sports Ohio on there channel 50, whatever it is. Pre and post game Reds Live.
Pre and post game show with Mr. Geisenschlag.
Yeah.
Geisenschlag.
Can we get like an American last name on the post game show? LeCure and Geisenschlag.
Love it. You guys are a great pair. Yep. Doing a great job. So check him out there and we'll have him on down the road, folks. Hope you enjoyed it. It is the Jim Day Podcast, and we'll see you next time.